You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
So I taped a show called The Piece of the Game. I host.
Heard of that. Emmy winning.
Well, I don't like to brag.
They had a guy on the show. He sees this sweater. Mm-hmm. Comes home, he's watching HBO, and there's a documentary on Vince Lombardi. Says to his wife, that's the exact kind of sweater that I bought in that vintage store for 58 cents. Is there a name in that thing? She goes, there actually is a label. He's like, come on. It's Vince Lombardi's sweater.
Wow.
Sweater's worth north of 25 grand. He paid 58 cents for it.
It's a good investment.
What the hell's going on out here?
That's awesome. Welcome back to Cap'n Haw on Comcast SportsNet. The show's taking a really dark turn. Wow. Wow.
Getting a lot of still feedback on the ash issue. 260. Caps ashes fly into the eye of the batter during Game 7 of the World Series and the Cubs lose. That's quite a capothetical.
Why can't it
scenario.
Be the
other way
eye
around?
Of a
oh, I know.
Opposing
player. We're looking at this way well, all wrong because it would be funnier if it happened that way. That's why. It would be much
that's
funnier.
That's how they won the World Series.
Also, 414 thinks it's against the law. Human ashes are biological and considered hazardous.
Oh, tell him or her to lighten up.
Lighten up. Rules are rules. Right?
Okay.
I think I heard that from you.
Sweep those ashes back up. Yeah, okay. Once they're down, man, they're down.
Oh, that's good. Let's get to the phone. We got a couple calls. The Today Show should be called Cap and Maudlin.
Don's in Tucson.
Clever 630.
Hey, Don, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, gentlemen and ladies, how are you?
What's Don. Up, Don?
Hey, I just I do a lot of work with the monument building industry across North America, and I was interested in your conversation about the spreading of ashes and the memorialization, and just wanted to educate you and also your readers and listeners and watchers on TV. The key is memorializing the person who's departed in whatever fashion you can, and I think maybe the ballparks are missing an opportunity to memorialize their fans. And let families memorialize their fans by doing something appropriate at the ballpark.
Would it seem inappropriate to you, Don, since it sounds like you are well-versed in this area, if the team's charged for this service?
I think it would depend. A lot of churches will take donations for columbariums, David. And I think the same thing could be done at the ballpark or in lieu of a formal columbarium, maybe donating a seat in their honor or something. David was talking about being cremated on a golf course, which is probably what I'm going to do, and I'll donate a bench maybe at my favorite hole for someone to sit at, because the key is to memorialize the departed for the people that are still living so you can remember them.
Well said, Don. Appreciate
Thanks,
the
Don.
Time. Thanks for watching the show out there.
Yep.
Oh, no problem. Take care.
See you, buddy. Don in Tucson. 312-235-25 25 Chuck and Carol Stream. Hey, Chuckles, what's going on?
Morning, Chuck.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing
what's
well.
Up?
And ladies, just want to make a comment on your article on Sunday. Thought it was great, right to the point.
Thanks,
and
Chuck.
That was one of his best columns he's written in a while. I told you that this morning. That was awesome.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yep.
Thank you, Cap.
You're welcome.
And those community leaders, they need to get a wake-up call.
Right.
No,
appreciate it, Chuck. To recap, people not
see you, Chuck.
Didn't read the paper or see it online. Wrote a column about basically it's time to move on from this Jackie Robinson West Little League saga. And to me,
got the mayor ordering rings,
which is pandering to me and a bit ridiculous to others. And I can see why. You've got Jesse Jackson calling a reaffirmation rally or celebration on Saturday to re-celebrate an honor that was stripped from Jackie Robinson Little League last week. I do not want to revisit that. I do not want to light up the phone lines. I do not want to discuss it any further. I want to move on because I think it's time for everyone to move on. They broke the rules. They were found to have broken the rules. And as I wrote in the paper, in my column, I likened it to my experience being a hockey dad mm-hmm. right now. My son's 14, spent the weekend watching four hockey games, and they were really great. It was really great theater, and you're proud as a parent to see your son develop things as a young athlete.
You channeled his Uncle Cap over the weekend.
He did a little bit there, but we'll get to that later. Those are emotions we have to control. But my thing is that I don't really care if they won. It's not about winning It's not about the destination when you are a young athlete, a Little League baseball player. The journey's got to be more important than the destination. It just has to be. And these are things that are lost in this process. And there have been no adults step forward to remind everybody about this. Conventional wisdom has not prevailed. This has been a big issue with this thing. Perspective has been lost. Persecuted kids? Are you kidding me? You saw the kids Friday night at the Blackhawks game.
I talked to some of them.
They've been to the Cubs game. They've been to the Sox game. They've been to the White House. They've been to the Bulls game. They've been to Disney World. May every kid in Chicago be so persecuted. Okay? This is nonsense. It has to stop. They're doing them a disservice. Nobody's life peaks when they're 12. Move on, everybody. That was what I wrote. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And I don't want to get calls saying the same thing because that's ground we've already covered.
Yep, it was eloquently written.
Thanks.
You know me. I'm honest with you. You can never say that I'm not honest with you when I read
your
column.
I never said that. I would never say that.
No, I'm just saying. Do I not tell you when
you tell me the truth?
I go, dude, that column, are you kidding?
I can't handle the truth, but you tell me the truth.
I think there are times you're like, what a jerk. But I'm just honest.
You mean when you're referring to my columns or just in general?
Probably both.
Okay.
Probably both.
I don't have that reaction. Look, I cannot write, I cannot have the job that I have without respecting the people's right to disagree with me, right?
Yeah.
So bring it. I mean, I spent 2 hours yesterday between hockey games returning emails from people who had strong, passionate
opinions
on this. And they're going to be. Most of the people, some people disagreed in a way that, you know, I thought was a little bit over the top. And by the way, if you're going to write any columnist a letter, if you're going to write me, Rick Morrissey, John Katz, whoever, you, Dave Kaplan, Brooke, you got a disagreement, sign your name.
Yeah.
Sign your name.
Yeah, have the
because
guts to sign
it. If you don't, I'm going to disqualify it as relevant because if you don't believe enough in what you're saying and how critical you're being of my opinion and my ability to express it, then it doesn't mean much to me. Sign your name. That's all I ask.
Agreed. Best way to put that in the rearview mirror, let's talk about my colonoscopy. Patty and Huntley. Hey, Patty.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, chap, the best thing to do for tomorrow is to make it a fun thing.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Several years ago.
I just go to prison for a week.
My husband and I, my brother and his wife, drank our prep out of Waterford Crystal. Then the kids made a chart on who went first, who went the most, who lost the most weight. We took a limo to the hospital, had our procedures done, and then we all laid around and passed gas like one happy family.
Okay. All right,
my
Patty.
God.
Thanks for suggesting.
Hey, Patty, wait totally a minute. What do you mean you lost weight?
Oh, because you get rid of all that stuff.
Okay.
I didn't even think about that. How much weight are you going to lose?
You probably lost a pound to 3 pounds. You probably 5.
What's that mean?
Why me?
Because you're a guy.
What does that mean, Patty?
More. You got more stuff.
Wow.
Maybe
I ought to do this once every month.
He's full of stuff. Thanks, Patty.
Patty, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You do the phones.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you.
So
that. One last one.
Oh, okay.
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I just wanted to let
you know. What's going on, Stinky?
I had a colonoscopy a few years back.
Yeah.
And my wife's a nurse, and she always told me the day before, it's just like a garden hose going up the butt, so you don't even have to worry about that. And that's whack, bro.
That is whack, bro. Thanks, Jeff.
Mixing your segments. It's Monday. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
I am just beyond nervous.
You'll be all right.
And my brother's a doctor. For him, it's nothing. For me, needles and all that, just not me.
All right, we're going to actually get back to sports at some point here, right?
Yeah, we're taking a break, and then we're getting back to sports because we're going to talk to Dan Wiederer.
Excellent story in the Sunday Chicago Tribune on a former Northwestern player who prepares athletes, players for the NFL Combine.
Sounds good. By the way, I just got an alert from Amazon. Just letting you know this.
Okay.
My wife's officially lost her mind. She thinks that she and I should now do the colonoscopy scare and that we should learn how to speak Spanish.
Dude, you know what? Due respect to Mindy, who's a wonderful lady. You got like 4 jobs, right? You're taking boxing lessons. Now she's got you learning Spanish. You're already all over the map with your focus sometimes. You know what? I would limit. I would think simple. Less is more.
Agreed.
Although, you know.
You should learn Spanish.
You talking Spanish? if it means that one day you would be interviewing Starlin Castro all Spanish, that would be pretty cool.
It'd be cool.
But I don't know if you have the time for it.
I'm going to give it a shot. Take a time out. We'll come back. It is Pablo and David Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
I'd have to look at the tape, Dan.
Yeah, Dan. The correct Dan will be joining us in just a second. Dan Wiederer. That was when Tressman called you.
No, it wasn't.
Well, he called you Jeff.
He called me Jeff, I believe.
Yeah, Jeff Hug.
Yeah, that's right, because he confused me with Dickerson.
There you go. That's it. You were Jeff. And Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune joins us now. Real good column this weekend in the Tribune on the upcoming Combine that's this week. Weeds, how you doing? Good morning.
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears as they go into the Combine. Do you believe that as of this moment today, new coach, new GM, new staff, that the Bears can win 9-10 games and get to the playoffs? And if you don't, then do you believe you just don't – if you're not going to get there, let's try and strip this thing down, take the assets and turn them into whatever we can and start to rebuild?
I think it can be a little bit of both. I think obviously you see quick turnarounds in the NFL, and I don't think it's unforeseeable for the Bears to have a winning record and stay in the playoff chase a little longer next season. With that said, they are a long, long, long way off from being a factor in the playoffs and being a team that can contend for a championship. And so that's where Ryan Pace comes in and has to have a very long view of this thing, has to look at the big picture and really understand that this roster needs a lot of work across a lot of fronts. And he's building for the long haul. So whatever path gets you to building long-term sustained success, that's the path you take. If you wind up catching lightning in a bottle and winning, you know, 9, 8, 9, 10 games this year, so be it. But I think big picture, they understand how far they off are from contending for a Super Bowl, and that's the ultimate goal.
Dan, I think people in Chicago hear the name Barry Gardner and they think, well, that name rings a bell. And a former Northwestern player, a guy who now is running a business out in Phoenix where you spent some time at EXOS, a state-of-the-art 31,000-square-foot training facility that basically helps prepare prospects for the NFL Combine or maybe for the NFL Draft. And how would you characterize your time out there, what he does, and how it reflects just how sophisticated the training has become for this week at the NFL Combine?
Well, I think the last thing you said is the most notable. When you think back, you know, 15 years, maybe even 10 years, guys would go back after their college seasons and basically train at their universities with their strength coaches and try to get themselves ready for the combine and really put a lot of work into it. But now there's just so many of these places across the country where these guys, they finish their bowl game and immediately, you know, they sign in with an agent, they get set up at one of these sophisticated training facilities. And they go out there not only to try and maximize the results at the combine, but to get an understanding of what it is to cross the bridge from being a college player to being a professional. And you see so much goes with it, whether it's the nutritional education they get, whether it's their ability to understand how to get, you know, therapy and massages and things to take care of their body. And then obviously the all-important understanding how to squeeze every last bit of athletic potential out of your body when you're on that combine stage next week in order to impress teams and sort of put that on your resume. And Barry Gardner's a consultant out there. He's one of many guys that work at the facility in Exos. And, you know, it's impressive to see how many guys go out there, and it's impressive to see how much goes into it because these guys understand this is a very important stage of the pre-draft process. Is it the be-all, end-all? It's not, no. But there's so much that goes into this, and NFL teams are looking for every last bit of information on you. It's in your best interest to show them that you've put in the commitment and the investment to taking this process very seriously.
How much time do you think that the Bears are going to put in between this, the workouts, and in the draft on addressing quarterback?
Well, they got a lot of decisions to make there, certainly, and I think if you talk to people that know Ryan Pace and understand kind of the philosophy he has as he goes forward, he understands that if you don't have for sure that championship caliber quarterback in your locker room, you have to take some swings, and whether that's, you know, finding a guy in free agency, whether that's taking some swings in the draft, until you know that you've got that franchise quarterback under center every week of every season, you've got to make sure that there's competition there and that there's opportunities to take swings and get that guy. So they'll look very, very hard. Now, obviously, a lot of things factor into this. You don't know whether a quarterback worth taking is going to be there at number 7. You don't know whether a quarterback worth investing in is going to be there in the second or third round that you believe can have a long-term impact. You know, there's a lot of factors, but certainly they're going to overturn every stone. And I think sort of the good news, bad news of this whole process for the Bears is they have so many needs to fill. That's the bad news. The good news is they have so many needs to fill that no matter what you take, it's probably going to help you a little bit.
All right, Dan, so we talked to Jerry Angelo early in the show, and I asked him, and I don't know if there's anything to this, but I was curious what he thought about the Brandon Marshall, Ryan Pace, John Fox meeting, which, the way I understand it, was initiated by Brandon Marshall. And even if it wasn't, it's very telling and curious and odd. And Jerry said he's never heard of something like that, a player meeting with the new regime in January. What do you think it means, if anything? Because I have to think that it might reflect – Brandon Marshall, as he pointed out last week at a public appearance, he's acknowledging he doesn't know where he stands, but that also might make him nervous. He might be able to – everything that he does, remember, is strategic. And so if he's meeting with the new boss, my sense is that he's strategically trying to position himself to stay. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do look at that and think, that's kind of odd.
Well, a lot of things that happen with Brandon Marshall are unusual and a little bit odd. And I think – the longer you're around Brandon, the longer you understand how he's wired and what makes him tick. You understand that he's sort of in constant need of understanding where he stands and needing validation for where he stands. And obviously this is a very unsettling position for him to be in. A year ago, he's on The View. He's signing this long-term contract extension with the Bears. He's celebrating. He thinks he's going to finish his career in Chicago. The 2014 season goes haywire. It goes south. Brandon Marshall suffers a season-ending injury, a new regime comes in, and all of a sudden his future is very, very uncertain here. And that's unsettling for a guy like him who needs to kind of feel like he's got his status known at all times. And you know, to John Fox's credit, to Ryan Pace's credit, they've given him no answers right now. They've got a lot of evaluating to do. And if Brandon Marshall isn't on this roster in 2015, it has nothing to do with the money that he was promised in that contract extension from a year ago. It has to do with whether they believe he is the right type of character guy and personality that they want to be a leader in their locker room. And that's a big question to answer. You don't have to answer it right now at this moment. Obviously, there's a March 12th deadline where you can save a lot of money. If you want to get rid of him, that's your deadline to do so and save some money. So they'll answer those questions. And as you mentioned, it may be a little bit odd, but a lot of things with Brandon are. And so we'll see where this thing goes as everybody sort of sits back and watches the show unfold.
The obvious question or obvious answer is they got to fix the defense. But offensively, they need a speed receiver, and they've got to fix that offensive line if they're going to start to try and get some things accomplished on the offensive side of the football. Do you think if the right guy was there, number seven, the right offensive lineman, you go, got to take him, they would or no chance?
Ryan Pace talked openly at his introductory press conference about making certain that you take the best player available, that through all his experiences with every draft that he was a part of in New Orleans, that is the one thing that you have to sort of hang your hat on and make sure that you don't get so caught up in what's in need and oh, this is a position that we really need right now. If the best player is there and you can take him, you swing and you take the guy and you figure out those other positions that need later. And that's his philosophy. Now comes the test. You know, when you get there on draft day and you're on the clock and the test is facing you, do you stick to your philosophies? Do you panic a little bit? Do you reach for need? Do you, you know, how does it unfold when you're under the gun? And so that'll be the test. But my opinion is at this point, you have to take those best players available. You've got a terrific situation here where the benefit of having a new GM and a new head coach is you have zero attachment to any of the guys on your roster. So you can come at this with fresh eyes. You can come at this with a clean slate. And you can just start building however you see fit. And so I think that starts with taking the best player that's available in every round of this draft when we get there in April.
So Wednesday in Indianapolis, John Fox and Ryan Pace will meet the media. It'll be the first time they do so at the NFL Combine representing the Bears. I've been down there years, Dan, as you have, where there's been news made at these press conferences when the coaches and GMs meet the media for the first time in a while. I've been down there where it's been nothing but what you would expect them to say. Given how many questions they have to answer, you expecting any surprises on Wednesday? Is there anything that you think we haven't really seen coming that you might see coming?
I think there's a lot of ground to cover, David, because we haven't heard from these guys since late January. They didn't have coordinators in place the last time that we talked to John Fox and Ryan Pace. And so we haven't even had the chance to ask them about Vic Fangio and Adam Gase yet and sort of the vision that they have for those guys. We don't know with the hiring of Fangio exactly what John Fox envisions doing with the defense. That's almost square one when you get him on the podium and off to the side for a little bit in Indianapolis. What are you guys trying to do defensively? Because we've got to get an idea of what that philosophy and what that vision is before we can start sort of slotting prospects and free agents
yes.
and everything else.
We have
in
to know
here, so,
what we're going to criticize.
Yeah. And there's a lot of questions to ask that you know, we didn't have a chance to ask a month ago, and now obviously the storylines have changed. So I would expect it to be, you know, however limited time we get with them on Wednesday, I would expect there to be a lot of substance to come out of that and a lot to discuss, you know, in the aftermath of that, because there's a lot of questions to ask and a lot of answers to get.
Hey, Weeds, before we let you go, do you expect the Bears to be active at all in the trade market? Matt Forte has a year left on his deal. I mean, they've got some things they could trade, some assets to try and get more picks. Or, no, it's pretty much going to be like what we saw last year, a lot of quantity in free agency and some draft picks.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, trades are always a two-way street. You have to have folks that are you know, coming to you with some offers and some things that turn your head and make you think twice. And so it's always hard to project how active a team may or may not be on that front. I just know, as I said before, that they've got a lot of needs here. And again, with that fresh slate, with these new eyes in the building across the board, the coaching staff, the front office, they've got a chance to really, really take a very objective look at this roster and put together a plan for how to overhaul it. And I think that should be encouraging to Bears fans that you do get this fresh start, that last year's disaster is behind you. And now, obviously, for the next few months, you got a chance to reassemble this thing. And as we talked about at the outset, make sure you keep the big picture perspective on not only building a winner, but building a team that can sustain success.
Thanks, Dan. Have fun. See you down at the Tribune Suite, maybe.
Thanks, Weeds.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
You got it. Charge everything to Haas account.
Actually, I'm not going this year. See you, Dan.
All right. There you go. Dan Weeder. Let me ask you a question. Phone rings. Uh-huh. And you're Ryan Pace. I'll give you a second-round pick for Matt Forte. You doing it?
Second-round pick for Matt Forte? I'm likely to do it.
Hub said this morning you could probably get a third. He goes, I don't know if I do
that. I think second's a little high.
Okay. I offer you a third and a fifth. Will you do it?
Doubt it. Because I want to be respectable next year. And that I'm really just flirting with the – on the precipice of respectability, but a second round pick might make me take that chance.
All right. Take a quick time out. Dave, Chris, Stan, and you. 312-235-2525. We're talking to Bears and a whole lot more. It's Kevin Hall. Be right back. Love that music. Saturday Night Live had their 40th anniversary celebration. 40 years of that show. 40 years.
It was pretty good last night,
and
what I hear.
Record ratings. 23.1 million people watched that. They dominated the night, and they had some just amazing things. I mean, there were celebrity after celebrity. All of a sudden, they had Seinfeld doing these things where he'd look in the audience and go, yeah, uh-huh, we've got, you know, Larry David or whoever it was. He goes, Tina, it's really Sarah Palin. She's actually in the audience.
She was there.
She was there.
Was she sitting next to Taylor Swift?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Was Taylor Swift there? Yeah, somebody
Taylor
mentioned
Swift
that.
Taylor Swift was.
Yeah. She performed in the after party. I just read that with Paul McCartney and Prince.
Yeah, Paul wow. McCartney, Larry David, Tim Meadows was hilarious. I mean, there was some phenomenal bits. Miley Cyrus, who actually looked normal. Melissa McCarthy playing Chris Farley as Matt Foley.
Eddie Murphy,
a small bit there.
Why didn't he do more?
Because they say he's not a very nice person.
So he didn't want to do more.
I don't know if he didn't want to do it or they didn't want
to do
it.
Who was your all-time favorite Saturday Night Live comedian?
Belushi or Farley?
Steve Martin was
he was good,
good
too.
He was there, right, last night. Eddie Murphy's hard to beat too.
So they did a poll and they gave the results out on all the NBC affiliates, so they did it here in Chicago. Greatest character in the history of Saturday Night Live. Who do you think won? In Chicago at least. I think it was national.
Don't know.
Farley.
Church lady.
Church lady?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How about Church Androgynous
Pat?
But maybe
like down by the river.
Androgynous Pat didn't make the top four. But
really?
Matt Foley was number four.
I could see that.
Matt Foley was in there. Wild and Crazy Guys.
Crazy Guys would have been probably number one in my book.
Bill Swirsky Superfans did
doesn't
not make
it depend?
The top four.
Look, you're talking about 40 years. Doesn't it depend what generation you are and what when you started watching it and when you started sort of getting the jokes and all that stuff? Because, you know, some people here who've watched it for the last 12, 15 years are like, who's Steve Martin?
Right.
And what do you mean Wild and Crazy Guy? What's that all about?
Right. They're like, what?
Yeah. That but couldn't have been that funny.
The show
and
was,
maybe it wasn't, but to us in the day, it was.
Coneheads, I mean.
Oh, the Coneheads were great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, Aykroyd was so, yeah, he may have been as talented as, you say that and it's like you come up with five other people.
And then they ran the segment where here are the people that have passed away from the guy that held up the cue cards for so many years to cameraman to this one to that one to the director. And then you saw the on-airs, and you saw Belushi and Gilda Radner and Phil Hartman. I mean, you're like, oh, my God, it takes your breath away. Some of the funniest people who were taken too quickly. It was a great show.
I mean, sorry that I missed it, but I missed it. Was not in position to watch anything, but
I didn't even know it was on. And I love it. And I called Mike, and we were just on the phone, and he said, yeah, I'm going to watch this Saturday Night Live thing. I go, what's Saturday Night Live thing? He said, 40th anniversary celebration. Ran in the house.
Was there anything else on? The All-Star
Game. Yeah, the NBA All-Star
Game. That's not really.
I had watched a little, and I was done with that garbage.
That's not going to.
Awful.
That's not going to command a very big
audience.
Now,
I will tell you, did you watch any of the dunk contests?
Was The Good Wife on last night?
I have no idea.
Well, come on. You don't watch The Good Wife?
No.
I recommend it. I think that, you know, you're missing out.
Just getting ready to start Breaking Bad. I've never seen that.
Takes place in Chicago, by the way, The Good Wife.
Really?
Yeah. Cap, come on. It's been on like 5 years.
So is Breaking Bad. I've never seen that either.
All right. Anyway.
I hear Maude was a good show. That might be next
okay.
on my list.
Maude was like 1970.
The Maude Squad?
No,
Maude.
Maude.
Oh, my God. See, don't talk about the generation gap, Cap.
Yeah.
I don't know what that
is. Generation cap.
Yeah. I'm just not up with the – I don't watch that much TV. I watch sports or a movie or that's it. The dunk contest on Saturday night was sick.
I love it how before
Zach LaVine.
I love it how before the dunk contest, the sort of the rhetoric was, this is stupid. The NBA needs to outlaw this. Then right after he went, it was like, oh my gosh, it's Dr. J. Oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. He saved the dunk contest.
It was awesome.
Yeah, well, I saw the replay.
Yeah, the Space Jam dunk. And I mean, just sick how athletic he is. Almost hit his head on the rim.
And did he not go in the draft after Doug McDermott?
He did.
So he was on the board when, although he dunks well. What kind of years is he having? I don't even know.
I'd have to look. He's on the T-Wolves. They stink. I don't watch much T-Wolves basketball.
The most reaction from Bulls fans over the weekend since I wrote that column on Friday, sort of the aftermath over the weekend, have been questions about Doug McDermott. Maybe this dunk contest also sparked that because they saw, you know, where he went to the draft. Like, A lot of questions to sum up or generalize. Why is a guy who averaged 27 points a year as a senior, why can't he see the floor at all for the Bulls? I don't know.
It's just the way it is. Dave on the west side has a question. Hey, Davey, what's going on there, Sparky?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, happy Monday, Cap, Hall, Brooke. How you doing?
Hey,
doing
Dave.
Good. How are you, Dave?
I'm all right. I got a quick three-part question for all three of y'all. Now hang up and listen.
Bring it on.
My question for you is, the year Terrell Suggs came out in that draft.
Yep.
And I believe y'all was talking to Angelo about that.
Yep.
Who did the Bears choose?
That was the Michael Haynes draft.
And Rex Grossman.
2003. Terrell Suggs also was in some trouble before the draft, which kept a lot of teams away, maybe including
Terrell
the Bears.
Terrell Suggs went before the Bears picked.
He went fifth, I believe.
He went 10th.
10th.
Okay. 10th, and the Bears picked 14 and 23.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
But they backed up. Hold on.
They traded down in that
draft. They traded down. They had the fifth overall pick, I believe, and they traded out of that spot to draft Michael Haynes and Rex Grossman.
Right.
Oh, okay, then, because I was going to give Angelo the biggest That's Whack Bro ever for that.
That is That's Whack Bro.
Still could.
Yeah. My question for Brooke is, if you're the GM of the Bulls, would you keep Thibodeau after this year, and why? And my question for Cap is Vince Carter, Zach LaVine, Jason Richardson, do the dunk contest over who you got.
Wow, that's a great question, Dave. Thanks, man. Would you let me just handle those?
I'm hanging up on them politely.
All right, Brooke, go ahead.
Go first. I think unless Phil Jackson wants to make his return back to Chicago, I say let's keep Tom.
Yeah, I agree.
Good answer.
Yeah. Phil Jackson would have to coach in a chair. He
she
can't
means
move.
That okay. in sort of, you know, it's for
I'm
a fact.
I'm fine with that.
For
he,
a fact.
He can coach from FaceTime for all I care.
It's a good comparison.
I would love to have Phil Jackson back here.
Basically, unless the best coach in basketball is coming back to coach the Bulls, you keep the guy who's maybe the second best coach in basketball.
All right, he asked
That's
for,
the point.
Who would I take? Zach LaVine.
Vince Carter. Or Jason Richardson.
Jason Richardson.
Remember that?
Yeah. Three phenomenal
Give
dunkers.
Give me Isaiah Ryder.
I would probably say I'd take Zach LaVine. That was the sickest collection
sick.
Of dunks I've watched in a long time. I'd take Zach LaVine.
What do his numbers this year have to check?
Oh, man, was he entertaining.
He was kind of like a jet. Isaiah Ryder was more like a just – he was so quick.
Yeah.
But powerful.
I mean, the most enjoyable for me was Spud Webb back in the day.
Yeah. Well, because that gives the rest of us shorties
Hope.
Something to hold on
Jordan,
to.
Jordan
yeah.
wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Jordan wasn't
that's
bad.
The greatest one against Dominique.
Oh, Vince Carter's was pretty up there, too.
Let's Jordan Dominique was the best at the stadium.
Let's get one more
ever.
Call before the break.
Let's grab Stan on the south side. Hey, Stan, what's going on there, buddy?
Good morning, guys. How are you today? Good.
We're good. What's up with you?
Okay, I just had a couple questions about the Bears. I wanted to ask, first of all, Hall, I don't understand, why do you want the Bears to be respectable next year? The Bears need to be in sort of a rebuilding mode. Next year doesn't matter.
Yeah, they got a Theo Epstein it.
I don't agree with you. Let me answer that question. Let me answer the question. It's not Major League Baseball. You don't have to bottom out to start back.
I didn't say bottom out. I said they need to be in rebuilding mode. But go ahead.
You can be in rebuilding mode and in the NFL still be respectable because every team is 3 weeks away from prosperity or disaster. And your roster isn't as bad as you think it is if you have the right coach. It just isn't.
Okay, well, to me, they need to be in rebuilding mode, and next year does not matter. Also, to me, they need to trade down in the draft and acquire more draft picks. The Bears need to be looking at assets for draft picks.
I'm with you there. Stan.
And also, I'm going to hang up and so y'all can finish talking. What we continue to talk about Cutler and Brandon Marshall. What about Jared Allen? He was terrible last year. He started off terrible. He didn't give us much last year. What about Roberto Garza? We can't run 1 yard up the middle because our center is terrible. All the old veterans, the Bears need to start a youth movement and bring in young, fresh talent. Next year and probably a year after that, we should not be looking at the Bears as contenders in no shape, form, or fashion. We should look at them as rebuilding, bringing in young talent, and then look 2-3 years down the line, being Super Bowl contenders. To me, that's the realistic way of looking at it and not being content with 9-7, 8-8 like Bears fans are used to. Thanks, guys.
Stan, appreciate the call and agree with you 1,000%. That's a 5-6 win team next year, so embrace it. Fix it and move on.
I don't disagree that they have huge, huge holes in the roster, but I also think a lot of the rhetoric sounds like Kansas City the year that Andy Reid came to town.
Oh, please. They had like 7 Pro Bowlers on that awful team.
I'm just saying they had a lot of reason to think they should just bottom out as well.
You at 46 could start at safety for us. That tells you how far away we are.
That's not true.
We got to take a timeout. Lance Armstrong, light in the wallet. Big, big. That just broke. We'll tell you about that as well. Page 2 is coming up.
We're desperate for stories. And this one is so compelling.
This is Page 2.
Love us some Page 2.
Yeah.
We do it here almost every day.
Almost every day.
Get to the stories. Cap'n Hall at Comcast Sportsnet.
That we have overlooked. We'll get through them quick today in the remaining time. Did you see, we talked about this a little bit, Brooke alluded to. Bothered me, though. Kevin Durant gets testy before the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, who came into the league, one of the nicest guys you could ever deal with.
Everyone says he still is. He's just...
Well, does it sound like it? Quote, hold on. Let me read the quote before you
testing
poo-poo it.
Writer over there.
You guys really don't know blank. To be honest, man, I'm only here talking to y'all because I have to. Sounds like Marshawn Lynch. So I really don't care. Y'all not my friends. You're going to write what you want to write. You're going to love us one day, hate us the next. That's part of it. So I just learned to deal with y'all. End of quote.
He's right.
Well, he could be a little bit more. That's not real professional.
Because he's tired of them ripping Scott Brooks, who he says.
Yeah, I think he was getting egged on.
I think it started to change last year. Remember when he was put up, his picture was on the front of the Oklahoman, I believe. After the playoffs, he let him down, and there was a headline that questioned him. I think maybe that's when it started to change.
Yeah, he's mad about all the negativity about his head coach. He loves his head coach.
But to say you guys all don't know blank, there are better ways to communicate your dissatisfaction with the way you're covered than to go into a little bit of a rant like that.
There are. I think
it's surprising. It's disappointing.
Yeah, he's trying to get over the nice guy image, and it, because I think he's confident now to have
a voice.
It's
working.
But there's a better way to go about it.
There definitely is.
A three-man arbitration panel has ordered Lance Armstrong and Tailwind Sports to pay $10 million in a fraud dispute with a promotions company. Dallas-based SCA Promotions announced a 2-1 ruling against the former cyclist Monday when it asked the Texas State Court to confirm the arbitration decision. They had given him $12 million in bonuses during his career. They want $10 million of it back, and he loses.
That's a large
He's going to end
fine.
Up bankrupt. You watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does that and he doesn't have a whole lot of sympathy anywhere. I mean, that's not – if he had to have a list of the five most disliked, easiest to dislike guys, athletes in all of sports, he'd be in your top three, right?
Him, A-Rod. Tiger, A-Rod.
Tiger? I don't know about Tiger.
Yeah. Well, I mean –
I don't know
Maybe
that I
you're, I don't put him with it.
I don't put him on a no, not Tiger at all.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about this tomorrow.
Maybe we should.
No way. Tiger? Top five most easiest to dislike?
Women dislike Tiger because of what he did.
I cannot put Tiger in the same category as Lance Armstrong and A-Rod.
How about Rodriguez. Barry Bonds?
They all cheated.
Yeah. I think he would be down there.
No question.
I need to think about this.
Albert
good.
Bell.
We take some, talk tomorrow about
Albert. Albert. Nobody thinks about Albert Bell anymore.
So get this. I went up to someone from the White Sox and I said, "Hey, we're standing on the field at Wrigley. Albert's. You're Albert. There's someone who works for the White Sox who will remain nameless." And I walk up and I said, "Hey guys, so and so, I got to do the pregame show. It's a real fun, easy interview. We'd like to have Albert. I'll put him in a good light. It's not no sandbag situation." He said, "Quote." Albert's standing right there. Do you want me to tell you to go F yourself, or you want him to do it? There's no way Albert Bell is doing that. And he was I saw Mike North. Remember Mike North? Walk into the locker room after the Cubs beat the White Sox.
My guy!
My guy! And Bell grounded out into a double play to end the game.
Yeah.
He walks into the clubhouse. I'm in the Sox locker room covering the locker room. North puts his – Bell is sitting at his locker like this. He puts his – pats him on the shoulder, puts his arm, "It's okay, big guy." Turns around, goes, "Don't ever touch me again." I thought it was going to be a throwdown. People jumped in. So now I go play golf in Arizona during spring training. I'm out there at the practice range at 6 a.m., no one around, just me. Who pulls up in a golf cart? Albert Bell. He's a member of that club
wow.
that I'm playing at. He doesn't have any idea who I'm at, who I am. He said, "Hey, buddy, have a good day today. Hope you have a good round. Nice to see you. Where are you from?" "Chicago." "Oh, I used to play there." Has no idea that I'm in the media. Nice as could be. Isn't he in jail now?
I don't know.
Or was for, I think, some kind of domestic
That was
situation.
Really interesting story. I didn't hear anything after you said when I was covering the game in the Sox clubhouse.
I was.
I was too shocked to listen. Yeah. You were in the Sox clubhouse?
Yes.
Wow. Sorry.
All right.
We don't talk a lot about women's basketball on this show. We probably will tomorrow when Brooke's in for you. But I think a friend of mine.
Rather be doing the show.
Excellent basketball coach, University of Notre Dame, Muffet McGraw. Notre Dame had two athletes, one former player of Muffet's, make a $5 million gift to endow the women's basketball head coaching position. First one in the country. So it is by the Karen and Kevin Keyes family, head women's basketball coach. You know how this has become popular in college football and mm-hmm. as a way of, you know, just people giving back. $5 million endowment to basically commemorate her. This going to be there forever in the name of Muffet McGraw, and it couldn't happen to a nice person, better coach. She's great, and I think that's interesting to see if this follows suit. I'm surprised it hasn't happened at Tennessee, Stanford, Connecticut, some of those places, but yeah. Notre Dame being the first is very interesting.
Very cool. All right, the odds came out this morning, the official Bovada win-loss numbers in Major League Baseball. Give me a team, I'll tell you what the over-under on their wins is.
Cubs.
Cubs is 82.5.
Sox.
81.5.
Cardinals.
St. Louis Cardinals are 88.5.
Tigers.
Detroit Tigers are 84.5.
All right, so Cubs 82.5. You take the over, wouldn't you?
That's right there.
That's right. That's pretty good. I think they're right at 82.
Yeah.
How about Sox?
I would go over.
I think I would take the over as the Sox too. I think the Sox are closer to hitting the over than the Cubs.
Yep. Tampa Bay goes backwards by 10. They're at 78.5. I think they were 88.5
last year. Didn't you love getting the paper yesterday and opening and seeing the front of the Tribune Sports section, and it was baseball?
Awesome.
It was inside looking at the five things for the Cubs and the Sox and Sully and Gonzo, Colleen, all the baseball writers back, you know, covering the report later this week. The Cubs report on Friday. I think the Sox after that.
Cubs Thursday, Sox Friday.
But the first time on the field, I think, is Friday for the Cubs.
Yep, and Saturday for the White Sox.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's exciting. When you're walking outside and it feels like you're in Saskatchewan, you like to think of Arizona and baseball.
Madden staying in the Cousin Eddie the whole spring training, apparently.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Staying in the Cousin Eddie in the motorhome. Highest teams, Dodgers and Nationals, 92.5. Angels, 89.5. That's your top three.
Interesting. All right. Well, you take care of yourself.
Yeah, thanks.
You get some rest. Relax. You're going to be fine.
Cap, we got you covered tomorrow. Don't worry.
We got you covered tomorrow.
Yeah, great. I appreciate it.
Take a selfie. Send it to us. Let us know how things are going.
I feel like I'm spending the night at Cook County Jail.
And you'll be back here good as new on Wednesday.
I hope so. Look forward to it. More than a little nervous now that the show's over.
If not, though, second base or right field? Wrigley.
I actually would like to have him sprinkled like right along the third base coach's box.
Right, give him
as they score a run, they got to run right over me.
Nope. Give him to Brooker Stoney because you can't trust me.
I'm not going to a Cubs game. No way.
Rest in peace, Wendell Kim. Wendell died yesterday. We're out of here.
All
have
right.
A great night. See you tomorrow.
All right. Well, see you later.